In a little over a week, I'll be doing something many of you are likely either doing or will be doing a bunch very soon. Camping. The particular camping trip I'm thinking of has a very specific purpose. It's the end of the school year campout for the two older groups, the Explorers and the Pioneers, for the American Heritage Girls scouting troop that I help with. Maybe some of you saw them in action, handing out pamphlets or small flags during the Memorial Day ceremony here in Dillingham earlier this week. We'll be going on a 3-day, 2-night trip. During that trip, we'll be finishing off a few badges, working on our outdoor skills, and just doing fun stuff outdoors, like many of you. As a part of our trip, we'll be staying in tents. I might add that the tents we'll be staying in were selected for the troop to meet the following criteria. Super easy to set up, relatively durable, large enough for 2 to 3 girls, and absolutely rainproof. A good tent, the right tent, goes a long way towards making the entire trip a success, something we've tried to teach the girls in our troop. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I have devoted time on this program before to selecting the right tent. I won't go into detail with that again, but we'll take just a moment to repeat what's something of a mantra for me regarding tents. Select one with a waterproof rating of at least 1,500 millimeters. Always get one that has a rain fly that goes all the way to the ground. Where possible, a large vestibule is a really nice addition and, in general, aluminum poles are better than fiberglass poles in terms of durability and reducing weight. I will say that the tents that we have for our AHG troop have those features, for the most part. The vestibule is a bit smaller than I'd like, but for the purposes we use the tents for, it's not a big deal. They are otherwise solid on all other accounts. Tents come in all shapes and sizes and are made of a whole host of materials to cover every situation a person might encounter while camping. At the lighter, smaller end are tents that weigh but a couple of pounds and pack small enough that you'd never notice it in your pack. Of course, such tents aren't any good for hosting parties or sheltering larger campers with any degree of comfort. My own smallest model is a bit of a compromise, I suppose. It checks in at 5 pounds and is plenty roomy for me, my oversized sleeping mat, and with just a bit of room on each side of the mat. It also has 2 vestibules, a luxury on a small tent, and one's fairly roomy at that. At the larger, heavier end are tents that, properly outfitted with a wood stove and camp furniture, probably do a passable job of inspiring images of Valhalla, and they undoubtedly make their owners feel something like that as well. As an example, Cabela's makes a large cabin-type tent called the Alaknak, and they make it in several sizes. One of my hunting buddies just bought the middle-sized version, showing a bit of modesty and judgment in doing so, to serve as his family's base of operation for up the Nushagak this summer for salmon fishing. The middle version comes in at 12 by 20 feet and around 100 pounds for everything. On the plus side, his family will be well situated while enjoying the summer. But that's not the type of tent you're going to break down each night, and you better have mechanized means of travel to get it to where you plan to use it. Again, tents cover the entire spectrum. Tents, like most gear related to the outdoors, are better than they've ever been in terms of materials and construction and features. Some tents today are marvels of engineering and provide folks who camp out a lot with solid, safe lodging for their nights outdoors. A couple of years ago, I did a 2-part episode about a fellow who went on a geological sampling expedition down the Good News River back in the early 1950s. The report I got to read about that trip had photos. I'm here to tell you that the photos of their tent did absolutely nothing to build within me any sort of sense of envy. It was a canvas thing, not that canvas is bad, that did not look like it would put up much of a fight against any kind of real wind or rain, and I'm sure it was heavy and had to be guyed out significantly. It might have been a top-of-the-line tent back then, but would not be anywhere near the top of any list for me today, with the options we have available. That said, I'd like to highlight something of a throwback today, and one that is still favored by many people, the canvas wall tent. Wall tents are not for everyone or every purpose, but they do fill a role for those who spend a fair amount of time outside. In sharing a bit about wall tents today, what got me to thinking about them was listening to that one buddy talk about getting up the Nishigaak and getting his fish camp set up there for the summer months. While he chose to go with that Alaknak model tent, the same thing, given what he wants of a tent, could have been accomplished with a wall tent. There is nothing wrong with the choice he made. There are also other choices that could have been made. I'd like to examine the choice of a wall tent. A wall tent looks like a small house, with four walls and a two-sided sloping roof, for the most part. There are a few of other shapes. They are also sometimes known as an outfitter's tent or a safari tent. One of the main advantages to a wall tent is the headroom inside, as they often have 5-foot side walls, which allows those who inhabit such tents to fully stand up. Also, they are easily fitted with a wood stove, which makes staying warm a lot easier. From paintings, historically, we know that wall tents have been around for centuries, often in the use of various militaries. They were certainly a part of our country's history, used by its military, prospectors, trappers, and explorers over the course of the 200-plus years that we've been a nation. They are still popular today with some hunters, outfitters, and for military history reenactments, such as with the Civil War. Some are quite large and, properly cared for, they're durable. If you decide to go with the wall tent, keep in mind it's very much like my buddy's Alaknak. You had better have a plane, boat, or snow go to get it to where you plan to use it. Even the smallest of wall tents isn't something you're going to carry in to a potential location. In the lower 48, in areas around the Rocky Mountains, they are still very popular with elk hunters, to name one user group, and they are often either packed in on horses or set up in close proximity to vehicle parking areas. Growing up in central Kansas, I'm not sure I ever saw a wall tent, except maybe some, at large Boy Scout jamborees. I had another buddy years ago that used a small one as his cook tent up the Nishigaak for his summer salmon camp, though his sleep tent was an 8-man Cabela's guide tent. Still the gold medal standard for tents, in my opinion. Within my circle of friends, be it for camping, hunting, or fishing, for the most part we all use tents of a non-wall nature, such as the Cabela's Guide series, though a lot of that is likely because we don't stay anywhere for any great length of time. I do have one buddy that has one, or he used to. He had it set up during moose season a number of years ago, but I don't know if he still has or uses it. I've done a bit of research on wall tents over the past several years. In fact, I purchased one, though I have yet to use it. I've been intrigued by them for a number of reasons. There can be several downsides to them for some, including the fact that they're heavy and require a good deal more maintenance than a regular tent. So the question is, why go with a wall tent? I mentioned a couple of such reasons earlier. They have a lot more space and the capacity to heat that space with a wood stove. The ability to actually stand up in a tent is a really nice feature, and one that's more important to some and less important to others. Staying warm is always a good idea, though there are any number of ways to accomplish that. With a wall tent, a wood stove is one option. Another consideration to choosing a wall tent is that they are a durable product. Thick, quality canvas construction, properly cared for, can provide superior protection from the elements. Those who like wall tents often cite their ability to shed wind, rain, hail, and snow. Today's canvas tent makers use materials and treatments that make that even more true than it's previously been. As with other types of outdoor gear, today's canvas tents are better because technology is better. For a lot of folks who choose wall tents, it may come down to as simple as it just making camping, for whatever the purpose, a more comfortable affair. A solidly erected wall tent, set up with solid cots and a cook stove, feels a bit more like a house or home, and less like a tent. There is nothing wrong with that as a reason. As I've said on here previously, with other types of gear, whatever gets you outside more. One last reason that probably is important to some and certainly plays a role in my own passing interest. Nostalgia. I've never made any secret of the fact that as I've gotten older, I'm more enamored with the outdoor gear of days gone by, such as older model lever-action rifles or traditional archery gear. Wall tents have nostalgia. Try Googling images of hunting camps from 100 years ago, and invariably you'll see wall tents, with lodgepole pines or such sorts of natural materials providing the structure that supports the tent. For some folks, myself included, that just looks like a good way to go. In the end, there are a couple of things that are likely true about the decision to purchase and use a wall tent. It's very much, like all outdoor gear choices, exactly that, a choice, a preference, in the same way that I choose a lever action and one of my hunting buddies always has a bolt action. It's a good choice for some and a poor choice for others. The other thing that's true is that a wall tent is very much an option to consider for those who will have and use their tent at a single location for a longer period of time, providing ample protection from Alaska's weather for however long it's needed. As always, options are good. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.